Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
In light of the recent news reports of the inflation or the rise of petroleum prices and even basic commodities, and inflation is upon us. In fact, my wife just this morning was trying to order food and realized that the price had gone up significantly. And as I began the month, I talked to you about prevailing over hard times. The reality is everyone goes through hard times, and we can find victory during hard times, and it starts with the right perspective, as I spoke to you about it from the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, as I've said earlier or the previous message, is ideal because it talks to us about suffering in light of the church in Philippi or the people in Philippi were going through hardships themselves. Paul, who wrote the letter, was experiencing hardship while being in prison himself, and the messenger, a man named Epaphroditus, was also in sickness, illness, and almost died. Suffering is one of the themes of Philippi, of the book of Philippians, and yet there was joy in the midst of that. As we go ahead and talk about inflation is upon us, and inflation is really a time when money tends to go down the drain. Needless to say that happens. When that happens, other things that are of value, if not more valuable, happens to us as well. Our peace is gone. Our good nature disappears. Our kindness becomes more about selfishness. Our generosity becomes about stinginess. And one of those things that really goes is sometimes our trust in God. Rather than trusting in God, we end up doubting God. Today, I want to talk to you about how not to lose what's valuable. How do you keep that? How do you make sure that while we're certain that inflation will drain some of the values of our money, we will not lose our peace, we will not lose our good nature and be angry and troubled or worried, we will not lose our kindness to selfishness or generosity to stinginess, and rather than doubt God, we will trust God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 tells us, "But he said to me," this is Paul saying that Jesus Christ said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness." So how do you not lose what's valuable? Well, it says it is to live by grace. When we live by grace in this season, we find that the grace of God is sufficient to get us through the hard times. Further in verse 10, it says, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults," there it is, "in hardships, in persecutions," and there it is again, "in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong." The grace of God is really what's important in this time of hardship. But this message is more than just about the grace of God. It's about how to get more of the grace of God in the midst of hard times. James chapter 4 verse 6 says, "But he gives more grace." Now, it's one thing to have the grace of God. It's a completely different matter to have more grace in your life. The secret is spelled out in this verse. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This verse is so important to God's heart that it's mentioned literally 3 times, the same verse, in Scripture. Once in the Old Testament in the book of Proverbs, the other one here, and the other one finally in the book of Peter. The 3 things that we find, the 3 people who are suffering in the book of Philippians, and now we step into chapter 2. Chapter 2 is a chapter on humility. It's an interesting thing that when we have humility, the Bible promises us that we will have more grace to overcome things during these hard times. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 tells us you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Talks about this idea of attitude of humility. Humility is actually an attitude. An attitude is something that we have that is real to us, that is something that manifests in our lives. It says in verse 6, "Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God something to cling into." Another translation says something to be grasped. "Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form." Notice the words, "he took a humble position." Humility is nothing more than an attitude, and an attitude is nothing more than a settled way of thinking or feeling about something. Sometimes, or many times, hard times have a way of teaching us humility. Sadly, unless we take a genuine concern to learn it, it'll be a good message, but we'll miss the real learning in the attitude that we can learn in this season of opportunity. Verse 1 says, opening chapter of Philippians chapter 2, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion," notice the words, being united in Christ, common sharing in the Spirit, one of the attitudes and one of the fruits that we find when you have humility is you're going to have unity. It further says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one mind. One of the fruits of humility is unity. And in fact, it's probably impossible to have unity without humility. It's hard to have unity when there's pride. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, there it is again, in humility, value others above yourselves. There's three things that's spelled out in this verse. The first one is selfish ambition. Humility is an attitude. Humility is not about selfish ambition. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying that humility is not to have ambition. Ambition is not a bad thing. In fact, it actually might be a bad thing if someone does not have any ambition. Ambition is something that you're seeking after because you believe it's going to be good for not just yourself, but for others. A child is given ambition. As I thought about this moment and how to illustrate this, I was reminded of a man named Bill Wilson. Bill Wilson is the founder of the Metro World Kids, a ministry to children. The interesting thing about Bill was that he was born abandoned at the age of 12. His mother literally left him alone in the street, and he was adopted by a mechanic, a humble man who taught him the rigors of Christianity. In one summer camp, Christian camp, Bill had the revelation that he wanted to have the ambition to serve the inner kids of New York City. As a result, he built what is known as the Metro World Kids of New York City. It was literally a set of buses, now numbering hundreds all over the world, that went around the city and gathered little kids from the inner city to bring them to church. He didn't wait for the people to go to church. He built buses to bring the church to these children whose parents were just simply dysfunctional. Today, the Metro World Child is a global ministry that spans the world. The reason why I bring this up is because of this. Bill Wilson was quoted saying, true ambition is the profound desire to live usefully and walk humbly under the grace of God. That's what true humility is. It's not about not having ambition. It's having the ambition to do what God created you to do. Now, you might be saying, is that only for pastors? Nope. It's even for athletes. One of my favorite basketball players is a man named Steph Curry. They just won the National Basketball Association championship. And he's been quoted to say this. Steph Curry says his Christian foundation was built on this New Testament verse. He built, it's not the one on his shoe, by the way. Some people mistaken that the foundation of his is the one in his shoe. And here's what the quote reads. It says that he basically has this verse of Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things through God who strengthens me. The actual foundational verse is in his shoe is another verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 25, right? And to know that in all things, God works for the good of them that love him, those that he has called according to his purpose. Ambition is not a bad thing. A child may want to build skyscrapers or, for that matter, businesses to help people, and that's a good thing. The issue is selfishness, and the issue is not even being in the limelight. The spotlight may be good for you if that spotlight influences others to do good. The issue is it about you? Does it start with you, and does it end with you? Because if it doesn't, then it's a good ambition. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 continues, do nothing out of selfish ambition, and there it goes, vain conceit. Now, humility is an attitude that is not about selfish ambition, neither is it about vain conceit. What exactly is vain conceit? Vain means simply this, to show an excessively high opinion of one's appearance, abilities, or worth. That's what you know when somebody's vain, there's an excessively high opinion of one's appearance, abilities, or worth. What is conceit? To see oneself as above others. Simply put, it's pride. It's hard to have a discussion about humility without a discussion on pride. Now, Pastor, are you saying that I should not look good? In other words, should I not wear makeup? Please, let's not go there. Can you imagine a world without makeup? Can you imagine your wife or people or children or children, your daughters without makeup? Or does that mean I shouldn't buy the right dress? It's not about just looking about not being beautiful, not looking good, or should I not be in social media? The issue is pride. And to understand pride, you have to understand it's got nothing to do with makeup or clothes or social media. It has to do with an understanding that humility and pride are actually opposite directions and with humility being in the middle. It's a zone. It's a zone that's found in your heart. It has nothing to do. Sometimes boasting, conceit, arrogance shows up externally. But for the most part, humility and pride are issues of the heart. Someone can be very quiet and yet very prideful. And someone can be very boisterous and yet very insecure. Humility is confidence and security in God. Confidence in myself, the more I move over there, becomes about me. That becomes pride. When my confidence becomes about me, and by the way, I'm guilty of this as everybody else is, the only difference is the degree and the number of times you step off. Sometimes I can be very secure in where I am, and many times I can be very insecure. The point is, whenever I find myself in these positions, I need to find myself back in the zone. Repent and turn away and find my confidence in God and my security in God, thereby getting back to the zone of humility and more grace. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 continues, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." There it is. Humility is an attitude that is not about selfish ambition, neither is it about vain conceit, and it simply is about valuing others. Further, it says in Philippians verse 3, valuing others above yourselves, continues in verse 4 where it says, not looking to your own interests. This is how you know whether you are valuing others. Is your interest only your own, but checking out the interests of others? C.S. Lewis, the great writer, was quoted, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking yourself less, of yourself less, rather. In other words, it's not trying to abase yourself necessarily in the way you think, but it's about thinking of yourself less. When you think of others more, then you think about what benefits others more and what interest they have, then you are actually in the zone of humility. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says, not looking to the interest of others, but looking at the interest of others. The question is, really? Pastor, can I really do that? Is humility, I can get the idea that it's not about selfish ambition, it's not about vain conceit, but can I always be thinking about valuing others? The fact of the matter is, we can, and really sometimes we can't, but here's the good news. Jesus made it simple for us. He gave us a perfect example to follow. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 tells us that Jesus had the attitude that of humility. And who, though he was born in the form of God, did not count equality with God a good thing to be grasped. And there it is. The secret to real humility is the example of Jesus. Jesus' example of humility begins with he did not grasp for anything. One of the things you will find during hard times, it brings out the best and the worst in us. That's the truth. And we end up grasping for things. So how can you tell that you don't have selfish ambition? Or you don't have vain conceit, or you value others more, you don't grab. You don't grasp for possessions. You don't grasp for positions. You don't grasp for power. You don't grasp for people. Over the years in ministry, I've had the privilege of working with some of the most fascinating men who are so humble. Pastor Steve Merle and Pastor Bishop Manny Carlos, people I've worked with here, Joshua Harris, and even the staff here. The common denominator for these people is not that they didn't have makeup or they didn't wear the right shoes or they weren't dressing up right. The common denominator was they weren't grasping. They weren't grasping for possessions, for positions, for power, or even for people. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 continues, "Who though he was in the form of God did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Rather, it says, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant." Humility, being made in human likeness. Jesus willingly served. Pastor, does that mean I've got to do household chores? Maybe. Before my wife arrived in this trip, I had to clean house and I had to do household chores. But that's not necessarily the only way to prove that there's humility. It says that Jesus proved it being made in human likeness. That idea of God being made in human likeness is the essence of who God is, our God. Theologians call that incarnation. In other words, going into another person's world. If you are truly humble, the key is to go into another person's world, to enter another person's world, whether they're from a different race and maybe a different age. Sometimes it's very hard for an older person like me to relate to a younger person thinking they don't know much. or maybe it's your status in life, or maybe even your religion, or maybe a person's traumas. When we're humble enough to enter another people's world, we understand their proclivities, their successes and their failures, and we're able to celebrate with them and not envy them. We're able to grieve with them and not just push them aside because they failed in life. People who've learned to be humble, it's not about makeups or clothing or thinking less about yourself. It's about entering another person's world because you've known to take interest in their world. If Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 continues, being found in human appearance, he humbled himself, being obedient even to death, even death on a cross. There's a connection between humility and obedience. You cannot be humble without the very example that Jesus gave us. If we are to learn humility, more than just not having selfish ambition or vain conceit or thinking of others, it's following the example of Jesus of not grasping for anything, the willingness to serve, and finally, to be obedient to God. A very simple way to know whether you're obedient with God is this, the example of Jesus. What if God told you that you're going to go through a hard time? And then I can tell you, I can't tell you why, or when, or where, or how, but I want you to obey me. This is the test of obedience. What if God told you today, it's going to have inflation, it's going to be a bad time, it's going to be a hard time, I can't tell you why, or when, or where, or how, but I want you to obey me. This is the test of obedience. The example of Jesus, summarized in these 3 points, is he did not grasp for anything. He willingly served by entering our world, and finally, Jesus was obedient to God. The good part about this message is there's a benefit to humility. The benefits of humility are spelled out in God lifts up the humble. It says in verse 9, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Somehow, God has this equation that the humble people are elevated and exalted over time. In person, I know that she's not going to like this, but my best example of this is the chairman of the board of Every Nation Singapore, who I've gotten to know for more than 20 years. Her name is Rachel Ong. When I watch Rachel live this life, I see the epitome of humility. By the way, she does have makeup. Okay, and when you swatch her, you watch her enter the world of her constituents, being a member of parliament, people of different race, creed, color, religion, and she often is found among the young and even has time to think about her sister's dogs, her latest post in Instagram. Before I get into more uncomfortable situations, because I know she doesn't want me doing this, I remember one time when I talked to her about social media and how important it is. And I remember how she struggled over it because of this issue of pride. And I explained to her how slippery a slope that is, but how important it is to be a testimony to a dark world. The point is, God lifts up the humble. Rachel is now a member of parliament, the chairman of our church, even though she doesn't want to have anything to this position, to do with these positions. She simply wants to serve. God works through and for the humble. That's the benefit. Inflation, as I've said, is upon us. In some countries, it's already 5 to 6%. In some places, it's reached 8 to 10% and continues to grow. It might reach, some people say, into a recession. Now, the question for you and to me is this. Would you rather go through this potential recession with God working in you, for you, through you, and be surprised at how he'll do it? Or you would you just want to do it yourself? Philippians 2:13 says, God works in you and will act in order to fulfill his good purpose for you. That's the good part. That's the benefit of simply being humble before God. He lifts up the humble. He works through and for the humble. And finally, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault. Here's what it says when we do this. In a warped and crooked generation, then you will shine like the stars in the sky. The benefit of humility is God lifts up the humble, God works through and for the humble, and he finally honors and magnifies the humble. If there's anything true about stars, our stars are most visible in dark times. And that's the key. The key is when we live in humility and God's grace flows through us, the visibility of our lives become clearer in a dark season. Stars emit light in the dark. They don't try to attract light. They're not trying to take the light. They simply emit the light in the dark. Stars are magnified up close. When you see a star up in the heavens, it's so far away, it's a tiny light. The closer you get to it, the more you realize the magnitude, the size of the truth of this creature or this being. That's why God wants us to be those kind of people. Finally, stars form galaxies. When we walk in humility and we find the grace of God flowing in our lives, we form a galaxy of light in the dark time. So how do you not lose what's valuable? To live by grace. And how do you live grace? To get more of it is to be humble. Join me in a short proclamation of this prayer, of this message. Pick up a piece of bread and a cup as you join me in this word of proclamation and prayer. Jesus, we thank you that you've taught us through your word that humility is an attitude. That humility is not about selfish ambition, and it's not about vain conceit, but it's really about valuing others above ourselves. And Jesus, we thank you for your example that shows us what humility really is. You showed us that we are not to grasp for anything, that we should be willing to serve just like you and move and enter into other people's spaces and worlds. And Jesus, thank you for showing us your obedience even at a time when you couldn't fully comprehend what was happening. The benefits of humility, God, thank you that you lift up the humble. Thank you, God, that you work through and for the humble. And finally, you honor and magnify those who are humble. Father, we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a good weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.